know me, my name is Sarah Yurko. I'm actually a graduate student here now. I studied early childhood education. I'm currently teaching special education, and I'm getting my reading master's. Usually people come up here and they show you a picture of their beautiful family, kids, you know. They shared, I grew up on a farm, and so thought you might want a farm tour. These are some of my four-legged friends. Lots of fun. I'm happy to be here tonight. I am excited. We're going to be continuing in the Christ Compels Me series, and we've already heard from incredibly wise people who have shared just what they love about the attributes of Christ and how it compels them to want to share with others. And so we've already heard about his compassion, his faithfulness. Sather shared about his reign as king, and I'm really excited to share with you this passage and focus in on Christ's provision. So I'm curious, I know summer is coming up. How many people have ever or maybe are currently planning a trip with friends? So I have a feeling that if you've ever planned a trip with a group of friends, you're one of two people. You're either the person who researches the room, does the travel route, tells everyone where to be and what time to be there. You have extra snacks. You filled up the car with gas. You've got everything figured out. Or you're the person who shows up 20 minutes late with a bag of Doritos and a blanket. And if you are that person, it's okay. Jesus does love you. But as for me, I'm definitely the planner. I like to know exactly what I'm walking into, to have a plan, to know what's happening, before I commit to something. So you can imagine how hard it was for me when 2 summers ago I felt a nudge on my heart to go on summer mission for 10 weeks in Ocean City. I was really scared, honestly. This was a new concept for me. I'd never been on a mission trip before, and I had saved some money for college, but obviously that was accounted for, and I didn't have any idea where this money would come from that would provide for me to go on this mission trip. So raising support was my only option, and I was sure God was asking me to go, and so I decided to lean in and trust the process, even though I felt really unprepared. Regardless of the situation, I'm sure we can all relate. There are times in life when we do feel unprepared, and we just kind of realize that, oh crap, what I have is definitely not enough. And so tonight we're going to be reading about a time when Jesus' disciples faced the same feeling of being unprepared. So you can turn your Bibles, if you have them, to Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And while you're turning there, I'll kind of set the scene a little bit with, 2 verses that are a little bit earlier on, verses 9 and 7 through 9. It says, "He called the 12, the disciples, and began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on 2 tunics. And so right before where we're jumping in, we kind of see Jesus is telling them, I'm sending you out, but I'm telling you to trust me, telling you don't take anything with you for your journey, but to trust that I will provide. And so here's where we're jumping in, verse 30. It says, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups, by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Yeah, that's a lot. It's a big passage. We're going to kind of break it down a little bit. Guys, I'm excited about this. I love this passage. So first, we kind of see that Jesus provides actually in a few ways. In verses 30 through 34, we see that Jesus knows what we need, and he sees our spiritual need. He knows what we need more than we do. Jesus knows that our biggest need is not actually a physical one, even though that's the one that we most presently feel in our bodies, but what we need most is a savior for our souls. We have a deep spiritual hunger that goes beyond our physical bodies. What we see here is it's late in the day, like Jesus and the disciples, they're tired, they're hungry, they took no money, no bread, no staff, like they are tired, they're run down, the people have been coming to them and needing things all day, they've just been pouring out. So Jesus says, let's go to this remote place where we can rest a while away from the crowds. But then we see that the crowds, the people, they recognize them, and when they see Jesus, they run to meet him there. So I just love this because I think the people recognize this spiritual need within them. They realize that Jesus is the answer to something that they are missing. So they feel this deep void that is only something that God can give them. And then we see too that how Jesus responds to the crowds. It says, even though that like Jesus is tired and hungry, he looks on the crowd and he has compassion on them because he says they are sheep without a shepherd. He knows that their biggest need is their spiritual one and that they need to be fed by the word of God, and that his heart for us is to provide what we can't get for ourselves. Secondly, we see that Jesus provides for our physical needs. In verses 31 and 42, it says, we see that Jesus understands that we do have physical bodies. He is someone, it says that Jesus is a high priest that can sympathize with our weakness. And he knows that, while we do need spiritual fulfillment, we also have bodies that get hungry. So he wants to fulfill those needs as well. And we also see that the people, they come running out of their towns to meet Jesus in this desolate place, out of the countryside and villages where there is all the food. And I'm guessing they didn't stop to think, I'm going to grab a snack because I'm going to be there for a while. But they were just in such a hurry to meet Jesus that they left everything and ran to get to him. And what we see is that Jesus not only feeds these people the word of God, but he feeds their bodies as well. Thirdly, we see that Jesus provides for us to participate in our calling. Verses 35 through 38. Jesus specifically chose to provide in this way. I think of the Old Testament where Jesus, where God the Father had sent the Israelites out of Egypt and into the wilderness, and he would make it like rain manna from heaven. And so if Jesus is God, which he is, why didn't he just say, okay, guys, like, look up, here comes the bread, and feed them that way? I think it's actually kind of specific the way that he chose to provide. And what I see here is that, he didn't let the disciples just sit back and like watch him make it rain, but he actually invites the disciples in to do his work. They get to have a role in the miracle with him, which I think is the same for us as well. Jesus doesn't say, sit back, do what you want, I'm gonna work here, but he invites us to be a part of his mission. Also, when he sent out the 12, he actually gives them authority over spirits and authority to heal people. And we see in the Great Commission in Matthew 28 that Jesus actually gives us authority too as followers of him. And so we can be confident that the Lord will provide when we step out in faith. I also see that he says, you give them something to eat. And I feel like probably the disciples were like, bro, we don't have anything because you told us not to bring anything. And Jesus obviously knows that they have nothing with them. And he says, go and see what you have, knowing that what they had was definitely not enough. I just kind of see the same for us. It kind of mirrors this, that we actually have nothing to offer God. But what we do have, when we do offer it to God, he can do abundantly more with it, and that he has the power to multiply it. I also love that in verse 39, it says, he commanded them to sit down in groups on the green grass. Kind of thought that was random my first time reading through, like, okay, I guess they're just going to sit down, and that's what Jesus said. But then I remembered Psalm 23, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And then in verse 5, it says, my cup overflows. And I just love when scripture, like, mirrors itself, where we see, Jesus says, okay, guys, like, you could go into the villages and get something for yourself to eat, but I want you to rest instead. And so sit down, and I'm going to provide for you. And lastly, we see that Jesus provides abundantly. Verses 42 through 44, we just see the miracle at work. In the hands of Jesus, what is not enough becomes abundance. And then I just love verse 42, and they all ate and were satisfied. I just think, like, man, like, Jesus could have just said, okay, here's a little snack to get you back to town where you can get something to eat. But instead, he provides them to the fullest, and he makes sure that they are satisfied and lacking nothing. I think this calls us to kind of respond in a couple of ways. So what does this mean for us? I think it means that we can trust the promises of God because we know his character. I think of, in Exodus, when Moses is talking to God and God's telling him to do something, and Moses comes up with all these excuses. He's like, I can't talk, and like, this is wrong, and you can't possibly think that I could do this. But when he asks the Lord who he should say sent him, the Lord says, I am who I am. And that is the name that he gave Moses to tell the people, which I love. Like, he is the Lord our God. He is, he has been, and he will be. I think this is God's reminder to his people to remember. Because when we recall how God has provided for us in the past, we get to preach his character to our forgetful hearts. And honestly, I need that because I forget a lot when hard things come over. And so also I see in the Old Testament a lot. I've been digging into, I've been trying to read through the Bible in a year, which has been fun and challenging, and I'm definitely behind, but we're getting there. But I just see God continuously reminding his people, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. And so he's just constantly reminding the Israelites who he is and what he did for them. And so I also think, secondly, that we're called to respond in obedience. Jesus says in this passage, he says, go and see what you have. He doesn't say, oh, don't worry, guys, I got this. And he also doesn't say, go figure it out and then report back to me when it's done. When I went on summer mission in Ocean City, there's a staff member there. Her name was Amy Stapleton. And she said, God's love language is obedience. And that just stuck with me because, that definitely is his love language. When God asks us to do something, he's already considered our circumstances. He's already considered who we are and what our abilities are. He doesn't ask us to figure it all out. But when he asks us to do something, it's actually an invitation to join him in the work he's already doing. I think our desire to be close to him should compel us to obey. Thirdly and lastly, I know I'm running out of time here, his provision offers us rest. Which I just love. The disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread. Like, guys, come on. Like, Jesus didn't just provide and calculate exactly what they would need, but he let there be leftovers. And it reminds me, in the Old Testament, God would provide in the wilderness for the Israelites double the manna on the day before the Sabbath so that they would be able to collect and rest on the Sabbath, knowing that they had enough to sustain them. And so, yeah, we see that God, he knows our limitations as humans, that we do need rest, and that we can, and because of this, we can rest without fear or worry, knowing that our good shepherd will provide. Matthew 6:30-33 says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." I just think that's a really good reminder of the one that we put our faith in and how we can trust him to provide for us. I want to wrap up my story about support raising and kind of let you in on what that was like for me, because I know a lot of you are participating in that right now, where you feel like the Lord's called you to something, and maybe you've seen him provide in some impactful ways. Maybe you're still waiting. Maybe you're still trusting and praying that he's going to provide. So let me paint you a picture here. I am exactly 14 days out from leaving, getting in the car, and physically driving myself to Ocean City, New Jersey. And I'm telling you, guys, I had sent a letter to every single person I knew, and I heard back from, like, maybe half of them. And so I had some money, like, trickle in, and I was like, oh, this is great. And then I kind of hit a plateau, and I was like, oh, man, this is pretty bad. I ended up 14 days out. I was $2,300 away from my goal. And I was like terrified. I was like, man, first of all, I don't have $2,300 lying around that I can just, you know, pay for this trip so I can go on it. And also, like, I just can't like understand or fathom like how this is going to come through for me. And so I had a lot of doubt. And so for 2 weeks, I'm like pretty much asking anybody I come into contact with if they'd be interested in supporting a mission trip. And I see like a little bit more money trickle in, but definitely not nearly enough. I was pretty discouraged. But 2 days before I left for Ocean City, this is May 22nd, I was leaving on May 24th. My friend Elena, who I lead Bible study here with, she's awesome. She texted me and she said, "Hey, just so you know, I have been fully supported for a couple weeks, and my church just wrote me a check, and it's like a huge amount of money." And she said, "I know that you're still raising support, and I want you to have it." And it was literally the entire amount of the gap of what I had left. And so literally 2 days, like I had one day in between to spare, I became fully supported to go to Ocean City, which was like incredible. I just think like when God asks you to do something, he's already considered your circumstances, and he already has a plan for how he's going to provide. And so I would encourage you to be obedient and to trust him. I have some questions for you to just kind of jot down and think about this week. Just to remember, like, how has the Lord provided for you in the past? How is the Lord calling you to obedience? And what do you need to surrender to the Lord today in order to trust his provision? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are our good shepherd who knows everything that we need and who will provide for us. We thank you that you provide not only enough for us, but that you will provide abundantly. Help us to trust in your faithful care and increase our faith. Help us to seek your kingdom above all else. Pray that your abundant provision in our lives would just overflow so that we could be a blessing to others. Just lead us and guide us to those around us who are seeking you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks to our listeners for tuning in to this episode of the 180 Podcast, a production of Crew in Southeast Ohio. If you enjoyed this episode, please give it a like, a share, or leave an encouraging comment, and that will go a long way toward helping others hear about the podcast. The podcast isn't the only thing that we do. Whether you're a student living on campus or if you're still at home studying virtually, we'd encourage you to check us out on social media to hear more about what's going on. You can follow us on Instagram at crew@OU. Or to learn more about who we are and what we do, head over to our website, crew@ou.org. We'd encourage you, if you visit the site, to complete our involvement form to get more connected to all the things that are happening. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next Thursday for another episode of the 180.